And welcome to the Big Gunner Podcast. Big day in Giant World. Free agency's open. I guess the whole NFL's got a lot going on right now. Giants not making the big splash in the quarterback position like we had hoped, but feel pretty good about the defensive secondary acquisitions. And this morning, one that I'm very familiar with down here living in South Florida is Javon Holland from the Dolphins. High-end safety, young, makes plays around the ball, good leader. I think one of the things the Giants needed to address was a safety position. I love Pinnock, but I think he might have run his course, and we'll see if he finds a way to stay on the roster or if the Giants will get rid of him just because he's been a starter here for the last few years. But I love the Javon Holland acquisition. A lot of complaints about if you're going to get Holland, why not save McKinney? I kind of like this move a little bit. I think you've got to learn from what happened last year and say that you're looking for high-end quality culture guys as well as you're looking for football players. Holland seemed to be a leader. I think next to Newbin, we're going to have a formidable pair of safeties. And I think the defensive backfield within the offensive line is the number one thing we want to address. Obviously the quarterback, but, I mean, the offensive line to me still needs work, and I think the secondary does need a lot of work also. So getting Holland, I think, helps us in that area. Not a big turnover guy, but I think will help big time. Good tackler. Loved him in Oregon and really liked him down here in Miami. So I like, that acquisition. Also, Paul Sanudebo from New Orleans. Don't know a lot about the guy other because I paid attention to Marshon Lattimore, who seemed to be the more productive corner there, but Debo had 3 interceptions in 7 games before breaking his leg. So we have an injury. We're coming off. We paid him what we thought was three years, $30 million. Now we got him at 3 years and $54 million. A lot of money to give a corner, but a lot of people like him around the league. Who know more about him. I pay attention to the Giants, not as much in the Saints on the defensive side of the ball. I know they've been struggling there, but maybe because of guys like him getting hurt, maybe that's why New Orleans had their struggles in the beginning of the year. They looked really good in the first couple games last year when he was a part of it. But 3 picks, and here's the problem: the problem that we have to address. We don't get turnovers in the secondary. Last year, it took us the linebacker Macau had the first interception early on in the Minnesota game, and then we didn't get one for 11 weeks. So we need to find a way to create turnovers. This guy is a ball hawk and good lockdown corner. I think we needed somebody in there to help Banks out and maybe get another voice in that room. Maybe a little bit more leadership. Hopefully this Debo does that. So the Giants addressed 2 big needs, a corner and a safety. Like them both. Hopefully this is where we're going to now we could kind of stay away from that position in the draft. I was thinking, Will Johnson from Michigan earlier on, would be a nice corner to have, the Travis Howard now acquisition because he thinks the league is projecting him a little bit more in corner. Now all of a sudden makes that, more geared to what I'm seeing is that we're going to go quarterback with that first pick. Not a huge fan of that play, but I see why we might have to do it. But there still might be room for Howard if he falls to us and the Giants have to make a decision. And then the most important signing to me that a lot of people are very surprised at, but I have liked. May have overpaid for it, but I think it's important. And that's Darius Slayton. I want everybody to go back and remember the Seattle game after Malik Nabors it out and no one gave us a chance and we were a huge underdog in that game. And who came through that day was Darius Slayton with over 100 yards. And I thought he was absolutely fantastic that day and we needed him. And I think he's a good leader. And I think one of the things the Giants – have to understand and fans have to understand is that in this day and age, and I talk about this with a lot of football people and basketball people and basically sports people, and being a youth coach that I still dabble in now, the culture and the camaraderie of the team seems to be important. As you're a coach building a team, I believe it's more important today than it has been in years past. When we were there in 1984, the Giants were coming off an abysmal season similar to what we had. But we had veteran leadership there that had been there for a while. Guys like Harry Carson, George Martin had been there for a long time. And Phil Simms had been there, I guess, was going into year 6. we had players there that were the core of what that locker room foundation is. I believe Darius Slayton is one of those guys for the Giants. I think Malik Nabers was quoted as saying how he ended up, you know, that Slayton was a big part of his development. And I believe, you know, he's led our team in receiving four of his first 6 years as a pro. I mean, for a fifth-round pick, that's saying a lot. And I think he's been productive for us. I think he's been a good player. And every time I hear him talk, there's nothing – I got nothing to say. But, you know, kudos to him for, like, I love everything about him. And maybe a $12 million per is a lot to pay, you know, a second-tier wide receiver. Not in this case. I think he's an important part of cog of this team. I think he'll be called in now. Being he's making a little bit more money to be part of the leadership foundation. I think I go back to 2007 when Tom Coughlin went in there and got more people to get into the leadership part of the team. When he went to Strahan, said we got to develop team leaders and I'll go through you. Brian Daboll might be in that kind of position. He's got to find ways to not have it all fall on him, that some of the delegation of the message should go to the leadership and the veteran players in the locker room. And Darius Slayton, to me, seems to be one of them. So there is, you know, I do feel pretty good about that, you know, that acquisition or rehire of Slayton. And hopefully you'll see that it pans out. Hopefully, you know, we still can draft a receiver. And maybe Darius Slayton moves into be number three if a young receiver develops. I love Wandell Robinson. I probably would think he's more, even though he's a slot guy, might be the guy that we might go to number two. I think he had 90 catches last year, so I think he would be the number two guy. So, but you need a veteran guy on the outside, and we're hoping Slayton stays healthy, and we're hoping he's productive. But more importantly, I believe he's a good locker room guy, and I believe we lost that with Barkley. I don't know about as much as McKinney, but I think in losing Saquon Barkley last year to Philly, and I, you know, every day I go around the town here, I see a bunch of Philly shirts, and all I keep saying is, "You're welcome." You know, we gave it to you last year, and now they re-signed him, and now he's making over $20 million, and I think it's the right move. I think, you know, I was a strong proponent, getting off this topic, but get a strong proponent of the running back position being not as important a position. But when I watched the results of last year's teams in Green Bay, in Baltimore, and in Philly, and watching what they were doing, and then seeing the quarterback struggle more so that I can remember in recent years, you have to have a running game. This Giant team will need a running game if we have a young quarterback. So maybe we're still in line to grab a veteran receiver. I saw Najee Harris, who's a guy who's very interested, signed a $9.25 million deal for 1 year with the Chargers. So I think that's that was an interesting signing. And I think that's the you know, one of the things that we might see, that, you know, that the Chargers are going to gear toward the building their offensive line and running the football. The Giants should be more or less toward that. If we don't get our chances and our hands on Aaron Rodgers, which now it looks like, from what I see, he's probably going to lean more toward the Steelers. I would say that's, you know, we're going to have a young quarterback next year. And I think having a running game is going to be important. The Giants also re-signed Chris Mannertz, who was a good tight end, blocking tight end in the running game. I like him. He did score a touchdown last year. I think he'll help. Chauncey Colston was signed from the Cowboys. You always like taking guys from your other teams in your division. Decent productive pass rusher, 5.5 sacks last year, played in all the games for Dallas. Not the big name that you want to look for a splash, but a good enough guy to provide depth. And another outside guy behind Thibodeau, who we know has been injury prone. Probably a guy who could become a factor for us. We also signed Chris Board, the linebacker, from Baltimore. What I like about him, he's 65 special teams tackles, is fifth most in the league since 2018. So we're getting a special teams guy. And he's played on six of his seven seasons. He's been on playoff teams, which I think is really important. So when you're building culture, get guys who come from winning organizations and know what it's like to win. Winning might be more important to them. I just feel like, you know, our season went down, and obviously went on when Andrew Thomas went down. But more or less, when you just don't feel you can win at the quarterback position, which is what I thought the locker room was feeling, as much as Daniel might have been a good locker room guy, I just don't think the team had confidence enough that he was ready to win with them. And hence, we saw the situation, how it transpired last year. But I just look at it like get players in the locker room that have a little bit of a winning edge. And that's what I like. I think our 1984, I go back to the year I was there again, as I always do. Probably boring most of the younger audience, but we signed Kenny Hill week one, and Kenny Hill was a safety to play in the Super Bowl with the Raiders and ended up playing the Super Bowl with us in 86. Players like that, Yale guy, highly intelligent, very articulate, nice, good person. But why did we go out and get Kenny Hill, guy, veteran leader in the secondary, and a guy who's played in championship teams, and that's what we kind of need. So, you know, I'm a strong proponent of keeping the culture right, getting the right guys, especially your own vets. And once again, I'm going to emphasize this for the future and what I saw last year. Do not let your main free agents go in the division and try to keep them in the locker room if you believe they're important. Find the money. Salary cap's up another $21 million. This is like over $40 million in the last 2 years. I don't see, without a new TV deal coming in, probably Netflix getting the morning sessions of games. I believe the league in 2026 is going to look to have a package created for early morning, Sunday morning football. I think that would create more money to the salary cap. So I think the teams, when they're signing these guys, there's a lot of guys that I'm ready to raise my eyebrows that are making some big money, signed yesterday. And you're going to see that this is all, the salary cap's going to probably be over $300 million next year. So there's going to be other ways that we create money. But so far, no big splashes, but needs. You know, Adebo, Holland, I think Slayton is even a need too, just having the right guy. So I like a little bit what they're doing. Was a little disappointed in the quarterback situation. Thought we might dress something yesterday. Thought we might make news. There's still something to come. We're still more days. But that's the kind of way I see it. We also signed Roy Robertson Harris from Jacksonville. Another player's been around the league. Tackle that might play well next to Lawrence. I think that we need to we got to address that position. I think we're going to draft a player also. I said we need to strengthen the run game. I think we're going to sit there with Okereke and McFadden at linebacker. A lot of people like McFadden. I am one of these guys that kind of more or less want guys that force plays, that can make tackles without going backwards. And that's kind of a little bit what I see with McFadden. But he's been good around the ball and creates turnovers and has been consistent. Good player for us. I think we just need a little bit of an upgrade. And I like the fact that we're, where we're at with, our defense now as we improve the secondary. So I think the real address is what we're going to do is we need another guard. The rumors now is that Evan Neal's going to move inside. So I'm thinking that's going to be an interesting move to see that development, how that plays out. We did sign a left tackle from Cleveland. So that's, I forget his name, but we got a backup left tackle who played three games last year due to Cleveland had injuries and he's been around the league for a while. So add a little depth of lineman. I don't know if he's even going to make the roster, but I still think we just need another interior lineman. We got to help John Michael Schmitz. We got to hope he develops. So really, we'll see what happens with the quarterback position. I hope we get a free agent come in and he can help us. And then obviously we're going to address it through the draft. Okay, we've been kind of up and down. Sunday was a real bad day picking the games. We were 0-3, but came back last night with a 2-1 win, getting easy win with Chicago, struggling with our 9.5-point spread with Atlanta. We didn't really insist on the bye, so they won by 9, so it was around there. So someone who has the habit of consistently buy might have gotten a push out of that deal. And then Toronto blows a 3-0 lead but holds on 4-3. And I'm going to take you back to the NHL. Two teams that kind of were sellers, looking a little down, although Pittsburgh got a win 2-0 on Sunday against Minnesota. I kind of like the two teams that were in the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. I kind of am leaning toward the Vegas Knights going into Vegas Knights are going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming off that long road trip. Laying a little bit of a wood, which makes me think that could be something, but I'm going to lay the 190 with them and also the Florida Panthers at Boston. tonight. We're going to do that. We're going to see the Panthers. We're playing well, and we're, we're going to have to figure that out with them playing very well on defense. Have a couple shutouts. They're playing really good hockey. So we're going to go with those two games tonight. Laying favorites on the road. Don't really like to do that much, but I'm gonna stick to my guns. And also, what I'm also gonna do is find that NBA game last night that I looked at that I feel was pretty good last night. There was a game I was touting here for get a minute. The Clippers are going down to the Pelicans, laying 7.5, and I think the Clippers, after that momentum building win, go down there. Pelicans decimate with injuries and beat the Pelicans handily. Lay the 7.5 tonight with those three games. And then the colleges this week, we'll be back on Instagram with the Big Gun in 1984. We're going to be with Defoe on Thursday on Bury Your Bookie. More Giant action. Hopefully we get some more news about a quarterback. And we'll have some Giant stories coming up in the next few weeks as we prepare for the draft and go back to the times, where we watch it. I was watching some old games there and seeing how we got to go from a 3-12-1 team in 84 to a better team. 3-14 is not going to cut it, obviously, in Giant land. And I think we're going to find a way to get better. Again, I like the locker room additions and as well as on the field additions, what we did yesterday. I like a little bigger splash. Hopefully we do something at quarterback today. So next week we'll be back with you. Quick show today. College basketball coming up this week. The NCAA tournament starts next week. Conference tournaments this week. Saw a great game last night with Walford and Furman. Gave Walford out to another guy who looked bleak for a while when they couldn't beat the 1-3-1. But that was a great game on ESPN at 7 o'clock last night. Good to see two young teams like that that you don't get to see very often or pay attention to play quality basketball. Both teams shot the three around 50%. And that's what you're going to have to do to win in this tournament. One little sneak peek for this week, if you're betting the conference tournaments, I kind of like Florida to win the SEC. I think they're playing extremely well. Auburn's taken a couple losses recently, so I'm not sure Auburn's going to be ready. So I think Florida's playing the best ball. I think they're going to probably win the SEC. I like St. John's in the Big East. The Big Ten, Michigan State seems to be a better team and playing very well. I don't know if they'll hold on. You always see a couple upsets here. Maybe that's where it is. And I really like what Houston's doing, the Big 12. But I'm going to go with Iowa State in a little bit of a sleeper that they're getting their players back. I think there's the 5 seed are going to come and take a chance and win the Big 12. And in the ACC, I think Duke is clearly the best team even without Proctor. But they'll play Clemson in the final, and that'll be a good game. I think Clemson has a shot at beating them. So those are the picks for this week on the tournament brackets. And we'll get ready next week. We'll talk about the brackets on Monday with Defoe, and Tuesday we'll have a good bracket update, and I'll give you my final 4 predictions, and we'll go from there. So have a great week, and go Blue.